The opinions expressed on all WRCA programs are those of the program producers and do not express the views of WRCA, its staff, or management.
Broadcast Group. This is 1330 WRCA, Watertown, Boston.
Opinions expressed during the following paid program are those of the program producers and do not reflect the views of WRCA Radio, its staff, or management.
This is Boston calling. This is Tube Talk.
Yes, greetings, ladies and gents. Yes, it is Tube Talk. Here we are, WRCA, 1330 AM. So what else is going on, you may ask? Well, you know, it's Friday night. It's time for music and gab. And that's what we do here on Tube Talk, trying to create that vintage sound once again. That was Teresa Brewer from 1950. This is some high-class stuff. Arthur Fiedler. how sweet it is, as Mr. Gleason would say. My name is Paul Burish. The name of this program is Tube Talk. We are dedicated to the vintage radio enthusiast. That is why we do it. And we're playing some very fine music here tonight for your vintage set, so fire up that console. Maybe a nice Fairbanks Morse 9A, or perhaps the Crosley 1019M, or even if it's a humble Admiral 5J22 Bakelite table set, whatever you are listening on, we hope we carry you back to when music was better and radio was the center of the universe. This is, again, another piece from 1950, sort of a pivotal year. A lot of people think of the 50s, they think doo-wop, they think the advent of rock and roll. They don't necessarily think of sort of that vintage sound, that 40s sound that still existed, was still hanging around. This is Mr. Bing Crosby.
I love those dear hearts and gentle people who live in my hometown, because those dear hearts and gentle people will never ever let you down. They read the good book from Friday to Monday. That's how the weekend goes. I've got a dream house I'll build there one day, with picket fence and rambling rows. I feel so welcome each time that I return, that my happy heart keeps laughing like a clown. I love the dear heart and gentle people who live and love in my hometown. There's a place I'd like to go, and it's back in Idaho, where your friendly neighbors smile and say hello. It's a pleasure and a treat to meander down the street. That's why I want the whole wide world to know.
I love those dear hearts.
I love the dear hearts. I love the gentle people because those dear hearts and gentle people will never ever let you down. They read the good book from Friday till Monday. That's how the weekend goes.
Got a dream,
a dreamy dream house I fill it one day, with picket fence and rambling rows. I feel so welcome each time that I return, that my happy heart keeps laughing like a clown. I love the dear heart and gentle people who live in love in my hometown.
Dear hearts and gentle people, that's Bing Crosby. And you know, we have a little something in the mailbag this week. It's sort of an interesting perspective on a program we did with Mr. Ross Hochstrasser not long ago. Frank from Illinois emails us and indicates he enjoyed our program with Ross last week and thought it was odd that right after we talked tech, that we played the Woody Woodpecker song. He adds, and I quote, "I thought it was a very technical and serious show, but thought that the Woodpecker song made the interview seem a little silly." Well, you know, I guess you can say that encapsulates that whole sort of scene that Frank comments on. That's what radio restoration is all about. You see, let me explain it this way. Here is Ross. He's logged 32 hours at the bench, and he has finally solved his motorboating problem. The glint in his eye is one of victory. The bemused smile on his face is because now that the Telefunken sounds so grand, he can listen successfully to Mel Blanc do the Woody Woodpecker song. This is what radio and radio restoration is all about, Frank. It cannot possibly get much better than this. So all I can really say is hoop-dee-doo.
Hoop-dee-doo, hoop-dee-doo. I hear a polka and my troubles are through. Hoop-dee-doo, hoop-dee-dee. This kind of music is like heaven to me. Hoop-dee-doo, hoop-dee-doo. It's got me higher than a kite. Hand me down my soup and fish, I am gonna get my wish. Hoop-dee-doo in it tonight. When there's a trombone player, I get a thrill, I always will. When there's a concertina stretched about a mile, I always smile, 'cause that's my style. When there's a fiddle in the middle, oh, it really is a riddle, how he plays a tune so sweet, plays a tune so sweet that I could die. Lead me to the floor and hear me yell for more, 'cause I'm a hoop-dee-dooin' kind of guy.
Hoop-dee-doo, I hear a polka and my troubles are through. Hoop-dee-doo, this kind of music is like heaven to me.
Hoop-dee-doo, it's got me higher than a kite. Hand me down my soup and fish, I am gonna get my wish. Hoop-dee-doo in it tonight.
When there's a trombone play, he gets a thrill,
I get a thrill, I always will.
He always will. When there's a concertina
stretched about a mile, I always smile,
you'll see him smile,
'cause that's my style.
That's style. When there's a fiddle in the middle, it really is a real high
place. A tune so sweet,
plays a tune so sweet that we could die.
Yes, lead me to the floor and hear me yell for more, 'cause I'm a hoop-dee-dooin' kind of guy. Us higher than a kite. We're in clover, we're in bloom. When we're dancing, give us room.
Hoop-dee-doo in it with all of our might.
Rain may fall and snow may come, nothing's gonna stop us from
hoop-dee-doo in it. Hoop-dee-doo in it. Hoop-dee-doo in it tonight.
Yes, roll up the rug and break out the old style. That's Perry Como with the Fontaine Sisters, and they're having a blast. And I have a blast every Friday night doing this show. More fun, it should be illegal. Here's a spotlight. We've been doing a little spotlight feature here. Certain radio companies. Some of this data is taken from an interesting location, too. Not necessarily a vintage radio website, per se. It's taken from a Lehman Brothers collection on business deals. This material resides at the Harvard Business School Baker Library in the historical collection section. So here we go. The National Union Radio Corporation was incorporated in September 1929 to acquire the assets of three radio tube manufacturers: Sonatron Tube Company, the Televocal Corporation, and the Magnetron Corporation. This merger occurred during a period in which the demand for radio tubes was extraordinary. Through much of the 20s, the demand for tubes had been primarily for use in radio sets, which by 1929 numbered over 9 million due to the growth, rapid growth, of the radio broadcast industry. Each of these sets used between 3 to 12 tubes. The result was that between 1927 and 1928, the number of tubes sold for use in radio sets alone grew 82.8%. There was also the expectation that tube sales would be furthered by their use in other electrical devices such as phonographs, talking movies, television, and long-distance telephones. The creation of National Union Radio is an example of the consolidation occurring, in the radio tube industry during this period and the need to standardize the wide variety of tubes available. Other radio tube manufacturers were merging as well during this time. For example, Sonatron, one of the companies to be acquired by National Union, had itself been formed by the merger of four smaller radio tube companies in 1928. The actions of the Radio Corporation of America appear to have driven the National Union radio deal. In this deal, RCA lent the newly formed radio National Union Radio $2 million for a period of 5 years at 5% interest. The National Union Radio Corporation also entered into a reciprocal license agreement with RCA, General Electric, and Westinghouse to manufacture radio tubes under the patents owned by these companies. This provided RCA, GE, and Westinghouse with greater control over the cost and production of tubes used by their products and a ready market for the radio tubes that would be manufactured by National Union Radio. The National Union Radio Corporation remained a major manufacturer of radio and television tubes for several years after 1929. It continued to operate under that name until June of 1954, when it became the National Union Electric Corporation. In November 1954, the company sold its TV tube manufacturing facilities to Sylvania. Finally, in 1960, National Union Electric merged with Eureka Williams. However, by this time, National Union had moved so far away from its original lines of business that at the time of the merger, it was described as a heating and air conditioning manufacturer. And now you have the rest of the story.
Have you ever passed the corner of Fourth and Grand, where a little ball of rhythm has a shoe shine stand? People gather round and they clap their hands. He's a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie woogie rag, Chattanooga shoe shine boy. He charges you a nickel just to shine one shoe. He makes the oldest kind of leather look like new. You feel as though you want to dance when he gets through. He's a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie woogie rag, Chattanooga shoe shine boy. Now it's a wonder that the rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. Just listen to him fan the air with his hoppity hippity hoppity hoppity hippity hippity hop. He opens up a business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to get up early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie woogie rag, Chattanooga shoe shine boy. Listen to him go. Don't that take it? Now it's a wonder that the rag don't tear the way he makes it pop. Just listen to him fan the air. Here he goes. He opens up the business when the clock strikes nine. He likes to get up early when they're feeling fine. Everybody gets a little rise and shine with a great big bundle of joy. He pops a boogie woogie rag, the Chattanooga shoe shine boy. The Chattanooga shoe shine boy.
That's Red Foley with a song you've heard on this show before by Frank Sinatra. And, you know, that rag doesn't snap quite as well as on the other version. And I think that's because they're trying to do that with that their guitar thing there. And you just don't hear the sound effect as well. Well, thanks for listening, folks. We have been at the New Adventures of Tube Talk here now for about a year or so. Can you believe that? And if you would like to hear us continue, please drop us a line. TubeTalk1@gmail.com. You can check us out at TubeTalkClassicRadio.org. We appreciate your support. We appreciate your listenership. Tell your friends and neighbors we're here every Friday night. Our feature presentation tonight is Orson Welles and a rather Well, friends, let's just be honest. It's a somewhat bizarre production of a program called The Hitchhiker. This is from 1942, featuring Orson Welles. And you know, what else would we feature on this program but something that's just a little off the beaten path. So here we go.
Columbia's parade of outstanding thrillers, produced and directed by William Speer and scored by Bernard Herrmann. The notable melodramas from stage and screen, fiction and radio, presented each week to bring you to the edge of your chair, to keep you in suspense.
Good evening. This is Orson Welles. I'm very happy I am to be back in the United States and back on the Columbia Network. Personally, I've never met anybody who didn't like a good ghost story. But I know a lot of people who think there are a lot of people who don't like a good ghost story. For the benefit of these, at least, I go on record at the outset of this evening's entertainment with a sober assurance that although blood may be curdled on this program, none will be spilt. There's no shooting, knifing, throttling, axing, or poisoning here. No clanking chains, no cobwebs, no bony and or hairy hands appearing from secret panels or, better yet, bedroom curtains. If it's any part of that dear old phosphorescent foolishness that people who don't like ghost stories don't like, then again, I promise you, we haven't got it. Not tonight. What we do have is a thriller. It's half as good as we think it is. You can call it a shocker. It's already been called a real Orson Welles story. Now, frankly, I don't know what this means. Don't think I disapprove of thrillers. I don't. A story doesn't have to appeal to the heart. It can also appeal to the spine. Sometimes you want your heart to be warmed, and sometimes you want your spine to tingle. The tingling, it's to be hoped, will be quite audible as you listen tonight to The Hitchhiker. That's the name of our story, The Hitchhiker. Camp on Route 66, just west of Gallup, New Mexico. If I tell it, perhaps it'll help me. Keep me from going crazy. I gotta tell this quickly. I'm not crazy now. I feel perfectly well, except that I'm running a slight temperature. My name is Ronald Adams. I'm 36 years of age, unmarried, tall, dark, with a black mustache. I drive a 1940 Buick, license number 6Y175189. I was born in Brooklyn. All this I know. I know that I'm at this moment perfectly sane. That it's not me who's gone mad. It's something else. Something utterly beyond my control. I've got to speak quickly. At any minute, the link may break. This may be the last thing I ever tell on Earth. The last night I ever see the stars. 6 days ago, I left Brooklyn to drive to California.
Goodbye, son. Good luck to you, my boy.
Goodbye, Mother. Here, give me a kiss, and I'll go.
I'll come out with you to the car.
Oh, no, it's raining. Stay here at the door. Hey, what's this? Tears? I thought you'd promised me you wouldn't cry.
Oh, I know, dear. I'm sorry. But I do hate to see you.
I'll be back. It'll only be on the coast 3 months.
Oh, it isn't that. It's just the trip. Ronald, I wish you weren't driving.
Oh, Mother, there you go again. People do it every day.
I know, but you'll be careful, won't you? Promise me you'll be extra careful. Don't fall asleep or drive fast or pick up any strangers on the road.
Oh, gosh. I think I was still 17 here, you two.
Oh, and why? I mean, as soon as you get to Hollywood, won't you, son?
Of course I will. Don't you worry. There's nothing going to happen. It's just 8 days of perfectly simple driving on smooth, decent, civilized roads with a hot dog or a hamburger stand every 10 miles. I was in fine spirits. The drive ahead of me, even the loneliness, seemed like a lark. I reckoned without him. Crossing Brooklyn Bridge that morning in the rain, I saw a man leaning against the cables. He seemed to be waiting for a lift. There were spots of fresh rain on his shoulders. He was carrying a cheap overnight bag in one hand. He was thin, nondescript, with a cap
fall down over his eyes. I would have forgotten him completely, except that just an hour later, while crossing the Pulaski Skyway over the Jersey Flats, I saw him again. At least, he looked like the same person. He was standing now with one thumb pointing west. I couldn't figure out how he got there, but I thought probably one of those fast trucks had picked him up, beaten me to the Skyway, and let him off. I didn't stop for him. Then late that night, I saw him again. It's on the New Pennsylvania Turnpike between Harrisburg and Pittsburgh. It's 265 miles long with a very high speed limit. I was just slowing down for one of the tunnels when I saw him, standing under an arc light by the side of the road. I'd seen quite distinctly the bag, the cap, even the spots of fresh rain over his shoulders. He hallooed at me this time. On the gas like a shot. That's lonely country to the Alleghenies, and I had no intention of stopping. Besides, the coincidences, or whatever it was, maybe the Willies, stopped at the next gas station.
Yes, sir.
Fill her up.
Certainly, sir. Check your oil, sir?
No, thanks.
Nice night, isn't it?
Yes. It hasn't been raining here recently, has it?
Not a drop of rain all the way.
I suppose that doesn't do your business any harm.
Oh, people drive through here all kinds of weather. Mostly business, you know. There aren't many pleasure cars out on the turnpike this season of the year.
I suppose not. What about hitchhikers?
Hitchhikers here?
What's the matter? Don't you ever see any?
Not much. If we did, it'd be a sight for sore eyes.
Why?
Oh, a guy'd be a fool who started out to hitch rides on this road. Look at it.
Then, you've never seen anybody?
No. Maybe they get the lift before the turnpike starts. I mean, you know, just before the toll house. But then it'd be a mighty long ride. Most cars wouldn't want to pick up a guy for that long a ride. And you know, this is pretty lonesome country here. Mountains and woods. You ain't seen anybody like that, have you?
No. Not at all. It's just a technical question.
I see. Well, that'll be just $1.49 with the tax.
Gradually passed through my mind a sheer coincidence. I had a good night's sleep in Pittsburgh. I didn't think about the man all next day until just outside of Zanesville, Ohio, I saw him again. It's a bright, sunshiny afternoon. The peaceful Ohio fields, brown with the autumn stubble, lay greening in the golden light. I was driving slowly, drinking it in, when the road suddenly ended in a detour. In front of the barrier, he was standing. Let me explain about his appearance before I go on. I repeat, there was nothing sinister about him. He was as drab as a mud fence, nor was his attitude menacing. He merely stood there, waiting, almost drooping a little, the cheap overnight bag in his hand. He looked as though he'd been waiting there for hours. And he looked up. He hailed me. He started to walk forward.
Hello! Hello! Hello!
No, not just now, sorry.
Going to California?
No, not today. The other way, going to New York, sorry. After I got the car back on the road again, I felt like a fool. Yet the thought of picking him up, of having him sit beside me, was somehow unbearable. Same time, I felt more than ever unspeakably alone. Hour after hour went by. Fields, the towns ticked off one by one. The light changed. I knew now that I was going to see him again. And though I dreaded the sight, I caught
caught myself searching the side of the road, waiting for him to appear.
Sandwiches and pop here, don't you?
Yeah, we do in the daytime. But we're closed up now for the night.
I know, but I was wondering if you could possibly have a cup of coffee, black coffee. Just...
No, not this time of night, mister. My wife's a cook. She's in bed.
No, don't shut the door, please. Listen, just a minute ago... just a minute ago, there was a man standing here right beside the stand, a suspicious-looking man. I don't mean to disturb it. And you see, I was driving along when I just happened to look, and there he was.
How was he doing?
Well, nothing.
You've been taking a nip, that's what you've been doing. Now, on your way before I call out Sheriff Oaks.
I got into the car again and drove on slowly. It's getting to hate the car. If I could have found a place to stop, to rest a little. I was in the Ozark Mountains of Missouri now. A few resort places there were closed, only an occasional log cabin... seemingly deserted. That's all that broke the monotony of the wild, wooded landscape. I had seen him at that roadside stand. I knew I'd see him again. Maybe at the next turn of the road. I knew that when I saw him next, I would run him down. Next afternoon. I stopped a car at a sleepy little junction just across the border into Oklahoma to let a train pass by. When he appeared across the tracks, leaning against a telephone pole. Perfectly airless, dry day. The red clay of Oklahoma was baking under the southwestern sun. Yet there were spots of fresh rain on his shoulders. I couldn't stand that. Without thinking, blindly, I started the car across the tracks. He didn't look up at me. He was staring at the ground. I stepped on the gas hard, veering the wheel sharply toward him. I could hear the train in the distance now, but I didn't care then. Something went wrong with the car. The train was coming closer. I could hear its bell ringing and the cry of its whistle. Still, he stood there. And now I knew that he was beckoning me to my death. Well, I frustrated him that time. The starter worked at last. I managed to back up. When the train passed, he was gone. I was all alone in the hot, dry afternoon. After that, I knew I had to do something. I didn't know who this man was or what he wanted of me. I only knew that from now on, I mustn't let myself alone on the road for 1 minute.
Let's just hit the pause button here for a moment and remind everyone, I'm Paul Burish. This is Tube Talk on WRCA Radio, 1330 AM.
Hello there. Like a ride?
Well, what do you think? How far are you going?
Where do you want to go?
Amarillo, Texas.
I'll drive you there.
Gee. You mind if I take off my shoes? My dogs are killing me.
Go right ahead.
Oh, gee, what a break this is.
A hitchhike much?
Sure, only it's tough sometimes in these great open spaces to get the brakes.
I should think it would be, though. I'll bet you get a good pickup in a fast car. If you did, you could get places faster than, say, another person in another car, couldn't you?
I don't get you.
Well, take me, for instance. Suppose I'm driving across the country, say, at a nice steady clip, about 45 miles an hour. Couldn't a girl like you just standing beside the road waiting for Liz beat me to town, or any town, provided she got picked up every time in a car doing from 65 to 70 miles an hour?
I don't know. What difference does it make?
Oh, no difference. It's just a crazy idea I had sitting here in the car.
Imagine spending your time in a swell car thinking of things like that.
What would you do instead?
What would I do? If I was a good-looking fella like yourself, why, I just enjoy myself every minute of the time. I'd sit back and relax. And if I saw a good-looking girl along the side of the road...
Hey, look out!
Did you see it?
See who?
A man standing beside the barbed wire fence.
I didn't see anybody. It wasn't nothing but a bunch of cows and the wire fence.
No?
What'd you think he was doing? Trying to run into the barbed wire
fence?
There's
a man there, I tell you. A thin gray man with an overnight bag in his hand. I was trying to run him down.
Run him down? You mean kill him?
Say you didn't see him back there? You sure?
I didn't see a soul. As far as I'm concerned.
Watch for him the next time and keep watching. Keep your eyes peeled on the road. He'll turn up again. Maybe any minute. There! Look there!
The store work. I'm getting out
of here. Did you see him that time?
No, I didn't see him that time. And personally, mister, I don't expect never to see him. All I want to do is go on living. I don't see how I will very long driving with you.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't know what came over me. Please don't go.
So if you'll excuse me.
You can't go. Listen, how would you like to go to California? I'll drive you to California.
Seeing pink elephants all the way? No, thanks. Thanks just the same.
Listen, please, just 1 minute, please.
You know what I think you need, big boy? Not a girlfriend. Just a good dose of sleep.
Please.
There. I got it now.
No, you can't go. Please.
Hey, your hands off me. Do you hear? Leave your hands off me.
She ran from me. As though I were a monster. A few minutes later, I saw a passing truck pick her up. I knew then that I was utterly alone. It was in the heart of the great Texas prairies. There wasn't a car on the road after the truck went by. I tried to figure out what to do, how to get hold of myself. If I could find a place to rest, or even if I could sleep right here in the car for a few hours along the side of the road. I was getting my winter overcoat out of the back seat to use as a blanket when I saw him coming toward me. Emerging from the herd of moving steer.
Hello!
Maybe I should have spoken to him then. Fought it out then and there. For now he began to be everywhere. Wherever I stopped, even for a moment, for gas, for oil, for a drink of pop, a cup of coffee, sandwich. He was there. I saw him standing outside the auto camp in Amarillo that night when I dared to slow down. He was sitting near the drinking fountain, a little camping spot just inside the border of New Mexico. He was waiting for me outside the Navajo reservation where I stopped to check my tires. I saw him in Albuquerque when I bought 20 gallons of gas. I was afraid to stop now. I began to drive faster and faster. I was in lunar landscape now. The great arid mesa country of New Mexico. I drove through it with the indifference of a fly crawling over the face of the moon. Now he didn't even wait for me to stop. Unless I drove at 85 miles an hour over those endless roads, he waited for me at every other mile. I'd see his figure, shadowless, flitting before me, still in the same attitude, over the cold, lifeless ground, flitting over dried-up rivers, over broken stones cast up by old glacial upheavals, flitting in that pure and cloudless air. I was beside myself when I finally reached Gallup, New Mexico this morning. There's an auto camp here. Deserted this time of year. I went inside and asked if there was a telephone. I had the feeling that if only I could speak to someone familiar, someone I loved, I could pull myself together.
Your call, please.
Long distance.
Long distance, certainly. This is long distance.
I'd like to put in a call to my home in Brooklyn, New York. I'm Ronald Adams. The number is Beechwood 200828.
Certainly. I will try to get it for you. Albuquerque. New York for Gallup.
New York.
Gallup, New Mexico, calling Beechwood 200828.
I read somewhere that love could banish demons. It's the middle of the morning. I knew Mother'd be home. I pictured her tall and white-haired in her crisp house dress, going about her tasks. It'd be enough, I thought, just to hear the even calmness of her voice.
Will you please deposit $3.85 for the first 3 minutes? When you have deposited $1.50, will you wait until I have collected the money? All right, deposit another $1.50. Will you please deposit the remaining 85 cents? Ready with Brooklyn. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
Mrs. Adams' residence.
Hello, Mother.
This is Mrs. Adams' residence. Who is it you wish to speak to, please?
What? Oh, who is this?
This is Mrs. Winnie.
Mrs. Winnie? I don't know any Mrs. Winnie. Is this Beechwood 208-828?
Yes.
Where's my mother? Where's Mrs. Adams?
Mrs. Adams is not at home. She's still in the hospital.
The hospital?
Yes. Who is this calling, please? Is it a member of the family?
Well, what's she in the hospital for?
She's been prostrated for 5 days. Nervous breakdown. But who is this
nervous
calling?
Breakdown? Well, my grandmother never was nervous.
It's all taken place since the death of her oldest son, Ronald.
Death of her oldest son, Ronald? Hey, what's this? What number is this?
This is Beechwood 20828. It's all been very sudden. He was killed just 6 days ago in an automobile accident on the Brooklyn Bridge.
Your 3 minutes are up, sir. Your 3 minutes are up, sir. Your 3 minutes are up, sir.
And so... So I'm sitting here in this deserted auto camp in Gallup, New Mexico. I'm trying to think. I'm trying to get hold of myself. Otherwise, I'm going to go crazy. Outside, it's night. The vast, soulless night of New Mexico. A million stars are in the sky. Ahead of me stretch 1,000 miles of empty mesa. Mountains. Prairies. Desert. Somewhere among them, he's waiting for me. Somewhere I shall know who he is and who I am.
you know, what better way to wrap up an evening of entertainment with Orson Welles than the theme from The Third Man? And I have to tell you, that's one of those films you sit there and you watch and you just sometimes get it and you sometimes don't, but then you say Orson Welles is a genius and I must be a real artsy dude or dudette. And that's basically what's going on there. Do you have a musical performer or big band you would like to hear on the show? A topic you would like to hear discussed? Well, let me know, please. It's tubetalk1@gmail.com. Let us know what you'd like to hear, how we can improve your listening experience. Our ears are always open.
Hey, little girl, comb your hair, fix your makeup. Soon he will open the because there's a ring on your finger, you needn't try anymore. For wives should always be lovers too. Run to his arms the moment he comes home to you. I'm warning you. Day after day, there are girls at the office, and men will always be men. Don't send him off with your hair still in curlers. You may not see him again. For wives should always be city and dim all the lights, pour the wine, start the music, time to get ready for love. Start the music, time to get ready for love. Time to get ready. Time to get ready for love. Time to get ready.
Hey, little girl, go home and put on some Tube Talk. That'll get the mood going. That's Julie London from 1963.
I saw the harbor lights. They only told me we were born. The same old harbor lights that once brought you to me. I watched the harbor lights. How could I help if tears were starting? Goodbye to tender nights beside the silvery sea. I long to hold you near and kiss you just once more. But I was on the ship and you were on the shore. Now I know lonely nights, for all the while my heart is whispering,
Those beautiful harbor lights. That's the Sammy Kaye Orchestra with Tony Alamo. And if that isn't a name for vocalist, I don't know what is. Thanks for listening, gang. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week. It's almost time to finish up here. We love you. Good night.
Opinions expressed on all WRCA programs are those of the program producers and do not express the views of WRCA, its staff, or management.